Amen. Well, Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for these wonderful times we're in. Lord, thank you for cleaning house. That's all I can say. Thank you for cleaning house. You're sweeping out the... Hey, looky there. There's Mariana and Vanita. Praise God. So you made it down there, girl. That's great. Awesome. Father, we thank you for getting Vanita down there with Isaac and Mariana safely. We thank you, Father, that you're going to bring them down here even also safely, and they're going to great gas mileage and that wonderful SUV that they have. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, for a wonderful time tonight with you. Lord, lead us and guide us into the things that you want us to talk about, not what we want, but what you want. And we thank you, Father, for that. Glory be to God. We praise you. We glorify you for all that you're going to do tonight in this bunch. This is a wonderful bunch. And I thank you, Father, for their devotion to you. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to learn something tonight that we hadn't known before. In Jesus' name. Because we're believing. Thank you, Lord, for new revelations. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Where's Nick at? What'd you do with Nick? She don't know. Come on, girls. Y'all got to get this techie thing down. While they're trying to figure out how to do that, we'll see what Lana has. Go ahead, Lana.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
I have a prayer request. My sister-in-law,
yes,
Lily, texted me today. She's married to my brother, one of my younger brothers, and she asked for prayer for me, but I wanted to share this with y'all. And ask for prayer from the body as well. She says, that the slander and gossip in the family there, from what Fio and I understand, there is some serious faction that probably, matches what's going on here locally too. But some serious faction going on in my side of the family, or my parents' side of the family, if you will. And Lily and Mark are coming under fire. And I believe it's because Lily and Mark do not agree with my family, but they're still within reach of my family. And the slander and gossip it's pretty bad. It's really dirty. The stuff that we've heard about ourselves has been heartbreaking. So I can imagine what they're going through as well. So they're asking for prayer as they go through this fire. She did express that she understands that as she's drawing closer to the Lord, that this is a trial, and it just feels like the weight of the world is on her shoulders. And we're just praying and believing. Lily and Mark are the family members that we keep in touch with, and they've visited us a few times. They live an hour out. And we've invited them to join us here locally. And I think one of these days they will, as the Lord leads them. And so I just want to lift them up for prayer. And if anything's coming to anybody else, I'd really appreciate a prayer for them, because she hasn't specified anything in specific that she wants to pray for. They're in the apostate church. But Father God, you know their hearts. And I know they want to do better than they are, Father God, mixed up in this family drama, Father God. And I know that you're using this, Father God, to push them out, to get them to leave that system, to see the truth of what the enemy is doing in my family, Father God. And you're pushing them to draw closer to you, to seek real truth and deliverance, Father God. And I've heard a lot of desires on their hearts, Father God, that I know that you can only answer. And so I ask you for strength and endurance, faith on their end, Father God, and to reveal your truth to them so that they can fight the good fight of faith, Father God, and to follow your leading and your will, whatever that may look like for their lives, Father God. But I know it's for true salvation, a true knowledge of you, Father God, so that they may come into the kingdom, Father God, to be a part of your body like never before, Father God. So I leave them in your hands, and I thank you for drawing them, for leading them, for teaching them, for guiding them, Father God. And if we can, Father God, be of any blessing, any help to them by opening up our home, by sharing words of faith, by praying, Father God, and by welcoming them here for fellowship, Father God, we are simply privileged to be used in such a way. So Father God, I thank you so much for Lily and Mark. I thank you that you love them more than even we love them, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that they are safely in your hands and that you will bring them through this trial and you will bring them into your kingdom as it is already decreed by your will, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I also want to lift up Lily's brother. He was taken to the ER last night. He's a 12-year-old boy, and his legs were in intense pain, and now he's in the children's hospital, and they are saying that it's either rheumatoid arthritis or Lyme's disease. And I am standing on God's promise that he is going to be discharged with a good report. I don't receive any of those reports in the name of Jesus, Father God. You can cure either one of those problems, Father God. I myself suffered with a rheumatoid arthritis through my childhood, Father God, and I praise you that we have the power of Jesus Christ in us to cast those curses down and that they are no longer ours, Father God. And I thank you so much for a miraculous recovery and a miraculous healing for little Ben, and that he is not stuck in that hospital. He is not stuck in the system, but he is discharged home safely in the arms of his parents, Father God, and that this disease, this sickness, this infirmity, whatever you are in the name of Jesus, you are no more. You don't exist because there's a good report on that boy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm going to break the power of witchcraft on that boy right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to go from him and take all symptoms away from him right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that little Ben is healed, delivered, and set free. Ben, you be whole, you be healed in the name of Jesus. Every cell, every organ, every tissue, every muscle in his body be healed right now in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, that little Ben is healed, delivered, and set free from this, from the curses that have been spoken against this family. Right now, I break every curse and cast it down as null and void now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that this is a time of humbling to them that will get them to the place that you want them, Father. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that they are seeing the light. They're seeing the light that this could be a way to humble them into the word, that they not walk by the flesh, that they walk by the spirit. And I praise you for that, Father, that no longer are they going to be troubled by what the family thinks. All they care about is what you think. And I praise you, Father, for that in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. That curse is broken off of them right now in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Julie.
I had a prayer request. If you were finished, if everyone finished, or anyone else want to pray for Lana and family.
Yeah, is anybody want to pray for Lana and the family? Go ahead, Pat.
Father, we thank you for what you're bringing into their lives, Lord. We thank you. I forgot their name. Lily and
Lana's,
Mark.
Lana's family.
Yes, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that they are in the household of Fiel and Lana. Though extended, you certainly didn't put any kind of limitation, Lord, on that promise. And they're part of the family. They are part of the household. And so we claim that protection. We ask you to put a hedge of protection around each and every one, the boy as well. And Lord, we thank you for these, these pressures that are coming into their lives. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless them with a heart of forgiveness and just to give you thanks for these times that they're going through right now. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that you're pouring out into their hearts right now to extend their hand of love to those that are attacking them, those that are angry at them, or that all of these things are signs, Lord, that they are threatened by something that is happening within them. And so, Lord, we thank you for these things that are coming against these people. Lord, we thank you that you are greater than that, that you are able to lead them through, and you're taking advantage of this situation to bring them into the light of your gospel, and the light of your truth. We thank you for your grace extended. We thank you for the protection that you provided, that you've surrounded them even now by your angels to give them support, to only allow what you want allowed in their lives to affect them, to touch them, and that by your grace, they will reach out to you and latch on to your word, your truth, and enter into the fullness of Jesus in their life. Lord, fill them with the Holy Spirit through this time. Fill them with the spirit of forgiveness, a spirit of mercy, and a spirit of, above all, a spirit of love for those that are attacking them. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your grace that only you provide in our lives to lead us through these things and to guide us into all truth. And we just praise you for the work that's being done here. Praise you for the lessons that you're even teaching us through these things, Lord, to be able to take advantage and to pray for and to take advantage of these influences that you bring into our life to bring us closer to you. So just pray that you would strengthen them and just lavish your grace on their lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I command the enemy out of that household right now in the name of Jesus. And I speak peace, joy, and rest in their hearts right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. Little Ben, you're healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. That he's going to confound the doctors. They're not going to find anything in Jesus' name. Had to get that demon out. All right, go ahead and do this. I'm sneezing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I would like a prayer of agreement for a couple things. First, the temperatures down here in Southern California have climbed up to like in the low 90s, and it's been really, really dry. And prayer of agreement, Father, that there will not be any fires, and every word curse has been spoken in such area, Lord, that there will be. I just break that in Jesus' name, that there will not be any chaos, destruction, and any of these deep state plans, Lord, that none of those will come to pass, and that there's not even any accidental fires out here, Lord. Everyone is just careful about what they're doing outside. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing the temperatures down and the humidity back up to normal. And I thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name and blessing and protecting our neighborhoods, Lord. And the other request is that prayer for my sister Carrie. Apparently she's, for the last, I don't know, almost a week or so, she's been, she went to the doctor twice, I guess, with just really body aches and pains. And they said it was a virus, but I'm not so sure that's what it is so much as maybe stuff coming into her system through the poisons in the air. you know, the metals and stuff that can come into the body and cause those kinds of things. So Lord, I just pray for healing for her. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, these things are removed supernaturally by the angels, Lord. And I pray that you draw Carrie to you, Lord, and she learn to seek you for prayer, for answers, for healing and that, Lord, that she has some knowledge of these things, but that she would not put her trust in going to the doctors. And thank you, Lord, for healing her and doing a quick work. And I also ask, Lord, that you would bless their time this weekend. There is a family reunion they're having on Sunday. They haven't been able to have it for the last couple of years because of the conditions and situations with COVID, et cetera. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bless their time together as family and that you bring everyone together who's supposed to be there. They went to a lot of trouble to arrange this. And I just thank you, Lord, for making that work for everyone so everyone can get together, have a good time, catch up, and see each other again, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace in doing these things. And I thank you, Lord, for the good report that Carrie's already up and these body aches are gone from her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We believe with you. Carrie, you're healed in Jesus' name. Carla, Carrie. Okay. All right.
It's thank Carrie.
You,
yes, Carrie.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Benita, do you know how to work that thing to talk to us? Hey, Isaac. Who is that behind you? You got some kind of clam back there. I don't know who that is. Hey, Nick.
Oh. Hey, Michael.
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Oh, you looking good. All right, I think you can take Isaac. You're a little bit bigger than he is.
He can take me.
He lost half of his body. He lost so much weight. He's just
he looks like he's lost weight.
Yeah, it's crazy. Over 50 pounds or so.
That's
50,
crazy.
50, I don't know. Something like that.
All right. But, praise God. How you feel? Hungry?
We're about to ask Papa John, so.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my.
We found out that,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Nick, Israel, and Isaac all have the same birthday. So we're going to have three pizzas with candles on each one for them to celebrate. So.
Okay.
me, Nick, and Israel all have the same birthday, September 30th.
Oh, really? Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Glory to God. Well, happy birthday, y'all. All right. All three of them together about my age. All right. Hi, Ezra. Hey, buddy. Okay. Anybody else? I heard some disturbing news today that Popeyes and Kentucky Fried Chicken have been putting chemicals in their chicken to make people addicted to the chicken. Yeah. Yeah. Man, I've eaten a ton of that stuff. You reckon that's why? Oh, my. I don't have withdrawals or anything when I go without it, so it ain't but real bad. Oh, me. Lord, I just ask that you make you food processors quit doing that garbage. Quit putting stuff in them that they don't need to do that in Jesus' name. They don't have to put nicotine or opioids in there. We like them just like it tastes. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else? Y'all ready to hear some good gospel music? I got one more I want to share, and I'm going to lay off of it for a while. I like gospel music. I like the old-time gospel music, I guess, because I listened to a lot of it as a child, as a kid. growing up. All right. Has anybody else got a prayer request before we go into the praise and worship time here? This might get you up out your seat a little bit. I don't know. We'll see.
That has something like.
I have to cry sometimes. So much trouble makes me cry.
Do what? Do what, Julie? Is it not showing up yet?
No, I said Pat had his hand up. I don't think you saw it.
No, I didn't. We can go
That's
back.
All right. I'll catch it later.
Okay. I got to wait till this thing loads up. Could y'all see anything then when I had it shared?
Yep.
Okay, so you're seeing it. Okay, good.
So much trouble makes me cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, but that's alright. 'Cause I know Jesus.
fix it. You just gotta fix it for me. I know you will. He did it for me, y'all. He did it for me, y'all. He did it for me, y'all. I know you will.
I know he will. He will fix it. Glory to God. I just love those old gospel songs. Jesus will fix it. There's a mountain up there. I know he'll move it. Go ahead, Andrew.
I got a very small... praise report.
Okay, praise God. Thank you, Lord. He got it out. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, you know, we were talking about things on Tuesday, and I was reading one of those Bible verses that you read forever, and then you come across, and it goes, wow, I never saw that before. And it's in Jude. The very first verse, and it says, those called beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. And I went, hey, that's the covenant. And that's what God's doing with us. He's keeping us in Jesus Christ. And I went, it's kind of like an introduction, you know, and I went, there it is, the whole covenant in half a verse.
Awesome.
I miss that each time when I was reading it. Anyway, praise God. Walk Emmanuel.
Amen. Oh, my. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? Thank you, Andrew. Glory to God. Anybody got a question that anybody got a verse? They got anything that you want to talk about tonight? Just open forum tonight. I got one. If nobody has one, I got one. But I want to give everybody a chance. Anybody got a? Yeah, Benjamin, come on through, brother.
I'm going to ask for some prayer. I had a dream recently about my buddy Jake. It's a very short dream, so I guess I'll just kind of go through it a little bit. Jake, I think we've prayed for him before, if anyone remembers. He claims to be Christian. I don't know if he's spirit-filled. I haven't seen any signs of that. He's anyways. The dream starts out with Jake and I in a basement of a house, and Jake goes off to go play video games at his computer, but I go and I climb the stairs to go upstairs. And then I go up the stairs, but the last set of stairs that I climb are missing. So I jump and I make the jump and I make it to the next level of the house. And then surprisingly, Jake is up there. But Jake is wearing the I don't know what they're called, but the Islam dress that the men wear with the cap and everything. And him and I have a discussion about something. I don't really remember what, but I'm like, I'm out of here. So I start to walk towards to go up the stairs. And as I'm walking up the stairs, I see him starting to do that prayer that they do. It's called the imam. They do the thing. I don't know if any of you guys know what I'm talking about, but it's their prayer that they do. They face that stone that's in the Middle East and they do things. I don't know. And as I'm going up the stairs, there's a tear that rolls down my eye. But I move forward, climbing up the stairs, and the last set of stairs again is missing. And so I take that leap. It's a little bit further of a jump, so I get onto it with my arms, but I push myself up. And then when I get to that level, a flash of light comes into my eyes. And then, boom, that's the end of the dream. And so my prayer is for Jake, because I'm worried that there's some sort of religious Islam spirit that's trying to get into him right now. And I'm just wondering if we can all, if you can agree with my prayer for him right now. So, Father God, I bring Jake before you again. I pray that he receives an enlightened spirit to see your face, to turn away from the worldliness, from the easygoing life of the world, to seek your truth, your word, your love, and to seek only your life, Father, that there's no other way to it. Let his own works be put aside and let him find rest. Let him be fallen to your mercy. And I thank you, Father, for all that you've done for him already. Bring him truth and love, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We thank you, Father, for doing that, for
being Lord, I want to do the prayer there. Lord, protect my son while he's with his friends. And Lord, be with him so that he don't receive anything wrong. And he will guard the deposit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your protection upon Ben every time he's with him. But give him wisdom to speak the things that you'd have him to speak to Jake also in Jesus' name, and give him great and great discernment while he's with him also in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. Yeah, Marilyn.
Okay.
Okay. Just a couple of things that came to me also. You know, when you're going up the stairs and the stairs stop and you take that leap, I think that's kind of like a symbolic of a leap of faith. You know, you've been standing in faith for Jake for a long time. And the fact that you left the basement, the lowest level, which is just the carnal flesh life, and you didn't want to be there, and we have prayed for Jake to not be there too, you know, bound up in the martial arts and, you know, the other things that he's been involved with. And, you know, and it's like he's got an interest in something else now. In this dream, we can pray about that. I'll pray about that here in just a second. And, he's seeking, he's just seeking in the wrong direction, but we can pray about that. And then the last time when you're walking up the stairs and then taking that leap of faith, I believe it's your prayers of faith that's going to work and move on Jake's heart. And Father, we thank you that you give us dreams, visions, visitations, revelations, and divine appointments. Thank you that Ben's been a faithful friend, and he has the heart of Christ. Ben has the heart of Christ. He loves his friend. He wants to see his friend come out of the realm of just the carnal, fleshly life. But also, Lord, that he not be pulled in a wrong direction. So, Father, we're praying that for Jake, that you put a hedge of protection around him, that you put people in his path that are going to be able to speak the gospel to him and live the gospel in front of him. I know that you do that with Ben, but that you would bring others as well. We bind up any and all false religious spirits that are at work here. Anything, especially from the martial arts, any of the Eastern religious spirits or Muslim spirits, it doesn't matter what it is. They're all false religious spirits. And we bind those up in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in Jake, Lord, that you, because of the prayers of faith of the saints and especially, Ben, Lord, you're going to bring him into the kingdom. You're going to bring him in a mighty, mighty way. And I thank you also, Lord, that in the midst of all of this, that you're bringing Ben up. Even today, he's rising up in the arms of faith to be closer drawn to thee. And that he is growing. He is maturing. You're doing a good, good work in his heart. I thank you, Lord, that you've the love of God is manifest in him. And I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Y'all, everybody agree, don't you? Jake's coming in. Well, he's going to come in a big way. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else? Question, prayer, praise report, testimony? Oh, I got a testimony. I don't know if I did. I share about Blake on outreach? Did I? Okay. All right. Praise God. He's doing good. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got anything I'd like to share, like to talk about tonight? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I was looking at Galatians 5 today. And saw some things in here that we could talk about. Verse 16 is a prime good target to start with. I'll probably get on back up to 13, but right now I want to just throw out 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What entails walking in the Spirit? What is it to walk in the Spirit? Don't look at me like that. No, what does it really, what does it take for us to walk in the Spirit? Yeah, Patrick.
So, I guess the first thing I'm thinking about is the next verse, being aware. That the carnal life is at war against your spiritual life. You know, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. For they're contrary one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. So obviously the first thing is to be aware that this battle is there and it's happening within you, within us. So then, you know, take it back to the importance of, you know, when you become born again, to, as Peter says, desire the sincere, I think it was Peter, desire the sincere milk of the word. Maybe not. I don't remember if it was Peter or Paul now. That you may grow by. And then in Hebrews 4:12, the understanding that the word of God has the ability to separate the soul and the spirit, or that area where the carnal perspective lives, and separate that from you, from your spirit, so that you can, having become aware that it exists and that it is in battle with you, then you have to be able to recognize it. And that recognition only comes when you are aware. I'm sorry, that awareness only comes when you're able to separate from it, separate within you from it so that you can see it. So I guess when you say, what does it take to walk in the spirit? I guess I fall more in the area of you have to be aware and you have to be able to see the carnal life functioning, or how it's functioning within you, in order to be able to have the opportunity to walk in the spirit. Now, that's just becoming aware of it. And I'm sure that a lot of other people in here will then hinge off of that fact that once you become aware of it, now you have to walk in the spirit. You have to make that choice now to walk in the spirit and receive that power from God in order to overcome. So that's kind of where I'm thinking and starting, I guess.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we have to be aware that we're walking in the flesh or the spirit before we can be determined whether or not to, how to walk in the spirit. All right, anybody else? Yeah, we're getting real, already getting close. Go ahead, Andrew. You look like you're at the starting point.
No, I was just saying to Ben that I lean forward. Anyway, the awareness, is really there, because that is the Holy Spirit prompting your mind, which is has a lot of love in it, and your heart also at the same time. All four rooms are open to this love of heart, soul, strength, and mind. Sometimes, you know, you hesitate on the strength, but you have to give up your own strength. And rest and let his strength function through you. As you know, some of the people who were martyred gave up their strength and they didn't fight back. And the proper influence of the Holy Spirit is functioning. And that's a John 14:26. You know, he sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name, who teaches you all things and reminds you of everything. The awareness of the Holy Spirit is there. And that's, you see, the devil sometimes tries to play tricks on us and says, oh no, you just thought of that yourself. No, you don't have a mind anymore. It's his. So just let him have the love there and let him remind you. Okay. And that's a battle. Sometimes people have that and you shouldn't have it. So you have to be aware of these subtleties that, to overcome them too in your walk in the spirit. Because sometimes the bad guy might come and say, oh no, that's just you. No, but it was from the Lord. All we get is from the Lord. Because just like I quoted the verse there, you know, we walk in Emmanuel because we're called beloved in God, the Father. And of course, kept for Jesus Christ. And the one who's keeping you is God the Father. So, you know, the other side doesn't have a chance. And we want to be there always with our Father. I mean, he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And he doesn't leave us orphaned. So there you have it. We have a wonderful, perfect, strong, almighty Father. Anyway. And he's the one who's sharing his spirit with us. So that's what I have to add anyway to what Pat's saying. I just want to get in the flow of things. Sometimes I go on tangents and praise and glory to God.
Amen. All right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Anybody else? So if we walk in the Spirit, we're walking in the desires of the Spirit, aren't we? Not the desires of the flesh. We don't walk according to the flesh because we're reading and studying the Bible. And as you read and study that Bible, you see what it is to walk in the Spirit. You start walking it out in the Spirit. When you do the Bible and walk according to what the scriptures have told us, then you're walking in the Spirit. So in order to walk like Jesus walked, we have to know what the scriptures say. And boy, there's a lot of good stuff in there about how to walk. One thing to keep in mind is, am I walking? You have to keep it up here all the time. Am I walking according to the way that Jesus wants me to walk? Well, we've all read the Bible. We study what it is to be like Jesus. How shall we die and all of that. But if we just, what I like to do is just, am I walking? Am I talking? Am I acting like Jesus? You know, one thing I heard somebody say one time, they said, if you do all the do's in the Bible, do this, do that, you know, do this. If you do all the do's in the Bible, you won't have time to do the don'ts. That's a pretty good saying, ain't it? I liked it and I remembered it. If you do all the do's in the Bible, you ain't got time to do the don'ts. Because there's a whole lot of do's in there. Got to love your neighbor. That's the best one right there. Love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, who's your neighbor? Who's next to you? Who's talking to you? Whatever. And just like some of us have gone through, you know, it takes a lot not to fight back, don't it, from the old flesh ways until you understand what Jesus did. And once you understand what Jesus did and you want to be like Jesus, you just sit there and grin at them, let them go on, blast you, do that, you know, and then you grin at them and say, I'm just going to pray for you, brother. Our sister, ever what it is. And you're shining light. You're shining light. You're walking in the Spirit. Can I pray for you while you're sitting there spitting on me? No, you don't say that. But But you know, you have to show Jesus all the time to walk in the Spirit. Now you have to know what the Word of God says. And this Galatians 5 is a good chapter. It's a good chapter. Of course, all the epistles are. They tell you how to walk, be like Jesus. Here's what the fruit of the Spirit is in 22, Galatians 5 and 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I like some of them. I don't like them all. You know what I'm saying? But you have to do them all in order to be like Jesus. That long-suffering sometimes gets to be long-suffering, don't it? Go ahead, Ben. Or Andrew.
Well, you see, Ben has this picture on his screen, you know, like you have an M or something, or your name. And he's got the guy from Pilgrim's Progress. And he's walking in the Spirit. He's got a journey to walk. All of Psalm 121 is that journey we have. You know, we sometimes were, when we were younger Christians, we were told to memorize things by heart. But you know, you have to ask the Lord for those words that he gave you by heart to put in you, to actually function in you. Because you know, that's a journey song. And we want to remember the journey song for our journey. Psalm 121, I think it's 121. I sometimes I forget the numbers, but I know what it says. So, but to know what it says is a reminder from God to activate that time when you need it. And of course, you have all these different characters in that Pilgrim's Progress, and the Pilgrim is a word in the Bible. So, don't ask me where it is, but I know it's there. And you have a pilgrimage. And he met up with other people on a different pilgrimage. They had different spirits on them, and they're described in this book. And you see the flesh and the spirit there. I just wanted to mention that. You're going to meet these people. You've met a lot of them already. And, you know, sometimes you can meet up with worldly wise men. But it's really neat when worldly wise man changes and becomes the correct wise man, a heavenly wise man. That can happen. That happened with Paul the Apostle from one extreme to the other. So it's a journey. You want to meet the right people on your journey in life. And there's a lot of people there that needed quite a bit of help. You know, even the apostles were prayed for, and they got a get-out-of-jail-free card. The angels came and took them out of the jail. And so that was a journey right there for walking in the Spirit for Peter there in the book of Acts. So you see, that's when you got to, he's in the groove there, Peter, going and being led by the Spirit of God, through the angels even. So the angels can lead you this way. Because they know what God wants, and they will lead you, but they can only do what God tells them. And we don't want any of the bad spirits. We can discern them through the discerning of spirits. And we even have a verse for that in 1 John chapter 4. So, praise and glory to God.
Amen. Yeah, Pat. You need to unmute before you start talking. It's better. We can hear you a lot better.
Yeah, I got it now. Okay. I got this.
Praise God.
So I was thinking about that walking in the Spirit. I know you read those verses down there. You know, the works of the flesh, the works of the spirit, fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, etc. And I notice that, you know, previous to the verse there in verse 16, if you go up, it says, for you were called for freedom, only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. And so Paul's giving us specific direction that's going to tend to bring out within us those things that are contrary to love. Obviously, to be a servant of another, you have to willingly be subservient or humble towards that person to a certain degree. And that in and of itself tends to bring out some contrary feelings or contrary thinking or agitation, possible agitation or something like that. And then Paul says the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so knowing this, and knowing that as an anchor, that we are to love, there's the possibility that in that process of learning to love or learning to obey that word, we find ourselves in a situation of biting and devouring or judging or becoming angry or something like that. So is that walking in the spirit? Well, it's walking, it's experiencing the carnal perspective reacting and, reacting to your desire to love. But something inside there is stirring up and going contrary to that desire, that will to love. And so, is that walking in the spirit? It's certainly seeing the spirit. It's seeing in the spirit things that are happening within there. You're becoming separated from that because this commandment to love thy neighbor brought out within you certain feelings or agitations or inabilities or failures, etc. So where then does God take us to immediately? Where do we go immediately? Well, we take that spiritual path to go over to 1 John 1:9 and confess our sin to God. And so that walking in the spirit may be littered with failures of walking in the flesh, intermittent, because we're discovering what's inside us that's motivating us and creating failures for our ability to walk in that commandment of love. So God gives us a commandment of love that really brings forth death in us and failure. And if you're like me, or like how I used to be, I would flounder in depression and anxiety and self-pity and angry at myself that I wasn't cutting the muster, so to speak. And I confess my sins, and here I am again confessing my sins. But God, of course, brings that out in us as we are attempting to fulfill his love for the brethren. And so we find that in our struggle, we find ourselves in the midst of Romans 7, where Paul is saying, I would do something, but I find when I try to do something good, there's a law within me that goes contrary to that law of sin and death. And so recognizing this, are we walking in the Spirit? We're certainly floundering and failing, but what is it? How do we walk in the Spirit in the midst of that? Well, we're confessing our sins. We're obeying God to confess our sins. And even in our weakness, being in the midst of our failure, we are confessing our sin. We're acknowledging that this is happening within us. And knowing that God knows that this is happening within us, knowing that God not only knows, but he's put the circumstances within our lives to allow it, to make sure that it shakes us up when we try to obey that commandment, that particular commandment, maybe love one another. And he wants to that love one another commandment of his word to rattle our timbers, so to speak, and shake us up so that we might inquire unto him. Now, all of this is happening within us, and we, if we're following God, are walking in the Spirit, even in the midst of this. We're seeing the division. We're seeing what is happening within. And where are we led to? How do we overcome in this area? How do we make it through? Well, that process, part of that process is Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. And I'm speaking because the Lord has just refreshed this in my own mind, in my own heart, that even in the midst of this battle, this failure, which I am seeing because God has given me the ability through the separation that his word has performed in my heart and is allowing me to see this separation, and I can see this battle. And though I may fail or though I may not fail, I still cling to that verse that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ that are battling in this situation. And it is only God that's going to put that within us that will overcome in these inner battles. But it'll only happen after we are aware that there's a battle there, that there is ground that needs to be taken. And so I find myself in the midst of that. Sometimes I don't know if I'm in Romans 7 or Romans 8 or First John 1:9, I'm all over the place, but we are in them all the time, in all those scriptures all the time, in order to stay balanced and locked onto Christ through the thing. So I guess my encapsulating thought is walking in the Spirit. Yes, we will see that fruit of the Spirit functioning many times, but walking in the Spirit will also take you through the times when you're building up to that, or you're unveiling and setting that life free within yourself, or God is setting us free. So, anyway, I probably set him up.
Yeah, that's good. That's the part about Paul. You know, he always talked about falling, but he talked about overcoming with Christ. This Galatians 5 gives you all of it. You know, first he gives you the works of the flesh, but it's a whole lot more works of the flesh than there are the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the works of the flesh, and I believe that's in 19. Well, we all know what that is. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it goes on in 22 and tells us the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Now, 24 is where we get into some meat here. And they that are Christ, they that are Christ, are we of Christ? We are of Christ. Have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We crucify. We don't do this anymore because we know what the Word of God says about it. We want to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, all of those in our lives. And the way to do that, in my estimation, is what it says in the 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you got your mind on the Word of God, I believe is what he's saying, if you got your mind on the Word of God, you ain't going to be stumbling in the flesh. And that's what he said. Keep your mind on the Word and you'll do a whole lot better. And after a while, you know this? After a while, if you had a problem with something and you just say, okay, I'm going to believe, Lord, that you're going to take this away from me. It's been a hindrance in my life, but I command it to be gone in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, because you've already done it. You've already taken it away from me. And from this point on, I'm believing that you're taking it out of me. I know I can't do it. I've tried to do it. It ain't working. But I know that your power can do it, because the Holy Spirit is in me, and the power that had brought Jesus out of the grave and put him at the right hand of the Father is in me. And I know he can take it. And we keep our mind on that thing is gone. It might take a little while, but it's going to go. It can't do nothing else if you keep your mind on the Word of God. Yeah, Missy.
I know one thing that's helped me is like areas that I've struggled in overcoming or whatever, you know. When I get up in the morning, I ask the Lord, give me the grace to overcome in that day. you know, and I mean, that's pretty much, and just confessing I'm dead unto sin, alive unto God, and I don't live anymore, but Christ lives in me. You know, I've been crucified with Christ, and just confessing his word. And like I said, asking the Lord for the grace to overcome that. Or if there's maybe not necessarily something to overcome, but creating a good habit of something that you know that you should do or whatever, like speaking grace to someone, or, you know, more, you know, or whatever. Lord, give me the grace, you know, give me your words, give me the grace to speak, you know, blessings on this particular person or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And so, yeah.
That's a great way to do it. I do the same thing. I get up in the morning. I'll start confessing who I am in Christ. I walk like Christ. I talk like Christ. I am a new creation, bless God. And if I'm a new creation, I ain't doing the things that I used to do, because Christ lives in me, giving me the power to overcome these things that I have stumbled on in the past. Praise God, and I thank you for it. You do that. Hey, listen, how many of you know that praise to God and thanking God for doing those things works? It really does. It works. Thank you, Lord, that you have made me an overcomer in my walk with you. Thank you, Lord, that you live inside of me and guide me and lead me into the places you want me to go and the things that you want me to see in your word. Thank you, Father, that I walk in divine health. Thank you, Lord, that I talk it all to. I talk Bible. I talk Jesus to everybody. Come, Jesus, come. Amen. Speak to the mountains too, Lord. I speak to that mountain just like you did. You said if I have the faith of a mustard seed, the size of a mustard seed, I can move a mountain into the sea. Bless God, and I can do it too. Because you're living in me. Is Christ living in? That's the way you have to have. Yeah. That you have to have that knowing that Christ does live in you. And when you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, you understand who you are. Not that you're arrogant and all of that kind. He was a humble man, wasn't he? He was very humble. He didn't, then people would curse him, and he just turned the other cheek. And that's what we're to do. But he knew who he was in Christ when it came to helping somebody. He always, what did he say was the main thing in his walk when he was healing somebody? What did he say? He had compassion. Compassion means love. He had compassion. He had love for the people, that he wanted to see them free. And when he saw them free, oh man, there was some hollering going on. Don't y'all know there was some hollering going on wherever he walked? But one thing he did, if you remember this, one thing he always did, when it was time for him to go, it didn't make any difference if there was 5,000 men, 10,000 men out in front of him. He'd turn around, walk, go up to his prayer closet up in the mountains and pray and talk to the Father, because he knew that was where his source came from. And that's the way we have to be. We have to be that God is our source of life in us. And we have to keep that connection with him at all times. God, anybody seeing what I'm seeing? This is awesome stuff. Well, who we are in Christ, golly, it just boggles your mind. It means that you could, I ain't going to say it. I'm going to keep out of that. I'm going to stay away from that. Praise God. Listen, you can do things nobody else has ever done. You know why? Yep, that's right. Because Christ lives in you. He told us. He's told us. You, me, everybody in here. He told everybody in here. The things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. greater things than this you're going to do. Well, I already seen some of them greater things. I don't think he ever healed a pump. I don't think he ever healed a water leak. He might have. I don't know, you know. I don't think he ever healed a tractor. But he did heal people all in one swipe. All right, everybody out here be healed in Jesus' name. Those who touch me are going to be healed. I know if somebody did that one time. Go ahead, Missy. Well, you want to make a point? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they didn't have pumps and they didn't have tractors back then. So, of course, Jesus never did those
well,
things.
Sure. Well, sure. It was greater than what he did, didn't it? But
right.
Not that he couldn't have done it. How right. many did it? You know, I knew he could do it. He could do anything because he knew the Father. We know the Father. We know Jesus. Glory to God. Yeah, Andrew, I see you sneaking up on that. Beyond me, but
you know, so, some of the really wonderful and greatest things that we do is when God uses us to bring someone to the Lord. That's a new birth. That's a new person in heaven, and I think that's the wonderful things that we're going to do. I know Jesus did it with his disciples, but he still had to go. You know, and he had, and now he's passed that on to us. And you know, he had to go to the cross for his. You know, we have a physical cross sometimes, but we do have that spiritual cross. So, but I just wanted to bring up that, you know, you're walking in the Spirit because of the Word of God, basically. You're believing it, and you have to believe those promises. You know, the rest we need to have, and as you have in Hebrews chapter 4, you know, that hasn't been mentioned yet about the rest and how to walk in the Spirit with the rest. So, you know, 4 and 1 is let us fear, therefore, as happily a promise of entering into his rest anyone can fall short of. And of course, you know, there's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. And you're all familiar with that verse. So praise and glory to God. So there's a rest and a fear of God that is a good fear of God. It's a healthy fear of God. It's part of the lamp and the candle, the menorah candle in your temple, that this light shines in your soul. And part of it is the reverence and fear of God. And it gives you the beginning of wisdom too. And that wisdom is Jesus Christ. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, what was just coming to me was, is the more our mind is renewed, because everything that we do comes out of our mind, the more our mind is renewed, the more of the mind, which means having the mind of Christ, mm-hmm. the more we're going to walk in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Bingo. And how do you do that?
Renew your mind with the Word of God. Put it in your heart, in your mind. You confess it. You speak it.
Bingo. You remember, I'm glad you said it. You remember that thing of the Japanese guys that was talking to the strawberry plants? And he was blessing one and he was cursing the other. And what happened to the one he was blessing? That thing blossomed out, man. It threw strawberries all over it. Other one withered up and died. That's renewing your mind right there. Is when you confess the Word of God with your mouth, you can change the color of your hair, I believe. Now, it's just me. If you could confess it, bless God, you can have it. And believe it. Just like renewing your mind, when you confess that you have the mind of Christ and confess all of those things that God has given us, you can change everything about yourself, because when you confess it, you're breaking down those old strongholds in your mind. And now you're building another stronghold of Christ in there. Those words of God that you have learned are starting to build up in here and building up that stronghold of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. People see it. They see that light come on. They said, look at that, man. That guy walks and they said, that woman, she walked, she is lit up like a neon sign. Glory to God. I wonder what that is. She looked like one of them pictures that the Catholics has with the halos on their hair, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I've seen that before. And people will ask you, signs and wonders will be happening. She break those old strongholds down by confessing the word, learning the word, keeping, like Missy said, keeping your mind in the word all the time, putting it there, leaving it there, confessing it with your mouth. It will change your DNA. You don't believe me? Watch what happened. Glory to God. Okay, Pat, go ahead, brother. Didn't I see your hand come up? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Missy. Okay, go ahead, Missy.
Well, I just kind of had to chuckle to myself because when you said about being able to change your color, your hair, well, it made me think of when I was a kid. I hated my curly hair. I didn't know how to work with it. My mom would cut it, and she'd cut my bangs, and they go way up here. She'd comb them down flat when they were wet, and then when they were dry, they'd go away. Anyway, I just hated my hair. And I would close my eyes, and I'd wish, and I'd pray as hard as I could that, God, when I open my eyes, I want my hair to be straight. Well, guess what? It never worked. But I'm glad now. I thank the Lord for my hair now.
Amen. Yeah, you got woolly hair. That's okay. It looks good. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody believe anything what we're saying tonight? Everybody's saying Pat, Andrew, Missy, everybody. Hey, Joe, what do you think about it? Walking in the spirit. I'm going to start pointing people out if you don't start helping me here. Well, he's making a good point, but I can't hear a word of it.
No. I'm just starting.
Okay.
While you were talking about leading by the spirit, it does show you. When you walk by the Spirit, the way the Lord leads you, He leads you, but you don't even know He leads you, and sometimes He shows you by a vision or something like that. But while I'm on here, can I ask you, I posted a thing, a confession of what the Lord did for me on Monday night, Tuesday morning. Can you read that, Michael?
Where did you put it? Did you put it in the chat?
Yeah, chat, yeah.
Okay. Joe says, our God's grace. I did go to bed on Monday night with a headache. The Lord woke me up a couple of hours later. And I asked the Father for a word for my quiet time. I received Deuteronomy 30:1. It's about blessings and cursings. While reading, the Father reminded me that something's in the way here, just a minute, that I did talk to a lady about somebody else without praying for that person. I confessed that, and immediately the headache is gone. What an awesome God we serve. Blessing you, Father. Lord of God. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. God's good, ain't he, Joe?
It's so awesome. The Lord just reminds you of things. He's always there to help you, not to just correct or not to spank you, but to help you. You just have to cooperate. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good, but you have to be glad that the Lord is helping you. If He's helping you, He's busy with you. If He's not busy with you, then you got a problem. I just want to confess that. Thank you.
Amen. That's right. But like you said, He ain't sitting up there with a ball bat waiting to smack you out of your chair. he's up there with a great big heart, big red heart, sitting there fixing to throw it on you, you know. I'm going to show you my love. Glory to God, here you go, Michael. And just envelop you with his love and peace.
Amen.
Even when you mess up.
Yeah.
He said, that's okay. You repented. What'd you do? I done forgot it. And he brings you right back in. And all you got to do is just believe he's giving you the strength to overcome in whatever area that is. All right, anyone else? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 25. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. What you going to envy somebody for? You got the same Jesus in you as they do. Probably more so if you've been reading and studying the Word of God. Ain't nothing to be envious about because you got the same God. There ain't nobody more important in God's kingdom than the least one. He likes all of us the same. You know why he created us? Anybody know why he created us? Fellowship with him. I'll tell you. That's what he made us for. Yeah, there you go. There's that big heart. Well, you right on tonight there, girl. All right. God is good. You know, you might envy, I wish I could do this like so-and-so did that. I wish I could, anything anybody does in Christ's realm, you can do it. Anybody. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that or not. Well, you might not, but God can. God and you can. He can always do anything. And I'm finding that out. I'm finding out some things that I never thought God could do or would do or even think about us doing. Woo, glory to God. I'm telling you something. God's sitting up there and he said, y'all, come on, come on. I want you to go this way in the Spirit. I want you to check this out in the Spirit. I want you to check this out in the Spirit. When you check it out in the Spirit, you're going to do things in the Spirit that you never thought you could before. You never thought anybody could. And you'll start seeing things. How many of you know that I can go from here to where Joe is in a half a second? God willing. Or Joe could come here. Not tonight, Joe. I ain't got nothing for you to eat tonight, buddy. But I'm saying this. You can come Saturday. Come Saturday. We'll have plenty to eat then, buddy. That's part blessing day, Lord of God.
No roadkill, Michael?
Do what?
No roadkill?
What'd you say? I'm messing with you, Joe. I'm messing with you, brother. Oh, glory to God. You know something, Jim? I believe at some point in time, one or the other is going to happen. That I'm either coming there or you coming here, one to the other, or both. I might just come up there and pick you up and bring you here. How's that? Amen. That'd be great, too. And we might jump over and see Dirk and Paula, too. All right. Anybody else want to talk about walking in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, there's one verse that I have written in my prayer place there that I look at sometimes. I've got all these pieces of paper all over this place, but it says, to no man after the flesh. And
I mean it.
That's an important thing. So we have... We want to have faith to bring salvation. all the grace that we can bring. We don't judge, we say. We don't accuse, we say. We do the good part of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we say, that's what's going to happen. And God does it through us. Because he calls the people through us. He does everything through us. And of course, you know, to know no man after the flesh, really, I don't know, you could think it that you're just another person that God can use. The way a person would move a chess piece on a chessboard. The sovereignty of God for the good of mankind is why we're here. Jesus only did good. He never did any evil. And that's why we're walking in life. And we get our lessons, some hard and some easier. And eventually the Lord, the Father, maneuvers us so that we can live in His Word. Living is the Word of God and active. That's walking in the Spirit. In Him we live, move, and have our being. That's walking in the Spirit. These are just some verses, you know, that God gives you. But they still have to manifest in us. They have to shine from us. It's not like you have to quote verses, though. It's just a behavior thing. That we have. The Spirit emanates from us. You know, what was his name? John G. Lake saw electric flashes. The Spirit coming out of his hands when he was healing people. And he saw this, you know, to the point where it was natural for him. And he wasn't excited about it anymore after a while. Well, that's what you could be. You could give someone a hug and you can pass things on. You may not even know when you were doing it when you gave someone a hug. You know, and it's kind of interesting, you know, so you don't want to give anyone any, you know, you go through some of those proverbs and it says that there's the evil eye, you know. You don't want to look at someone the wrong way. You know, I'm trying to think of the verse, but maybe someone can think of a verse there in the Proverbs on how you're supposed to behave, even the way you look at people and see a person beside you. So it's not an easy thing to do, but it's what the Lord will do with us. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else talking about walking in the Spirit? There's a lot of scriptures in there that talks about what we're talking about tonight. Paul's whole epistle talks about that. All of the epistles mention it somewhere in his epistles all the time. Yeah, leave it for you, Lana.
This is kind of, well, I'll just say it. I had to make a chocolate cake today. And if I had listened to the Holy Spirit, I would have saved myself much time instead of having to make mayonnaise in the middle of my chocolate cake and charging a scale in the middle of needing to make icing. And every time it was like, Lana, make some extra. Oh, I think I'll be fine. Nope. Lana, you haven't charged your scale in a while. You probably should stick it on charge while you got some free time. Nope. And I always look back and I'm like, man, that was the Holy Spirit trying to help me out. And I'm just flying through my tasks. And it happens almost daily. And I'm like, Lana, remember this moment so that the next time you hear that thought, you can even ask, Lord, is that you? And he'll probably say, yes, it is. And you'll charge your scale and you'll make extra ingredients ahead of time. So I'm very grateful that the Lord makes me practice in such situations, not fiery trials as sometimes it gets. So Just saying. Charge up your scale and make extra mayo.
Amen. I ain't never done that over 138,000 times. Oh, my. You're right. You're right. That inner spirit always tells you, doesn't it? You tell you, did you do this or don't you think you need to do that? No, it's okay. It's okay the last time I used it.
Yeah, I like to practice listening to the Holy Spirit so that I can become more in tune with it. Like I went to, we went to Costco and I like to check out the books for kids. And I picked up a book and I was like, oh man, I should get this book for the kids. And instantly I just had a feeling. It wasn't even a voice. It was a no. And I thought myself, Lana, you know exactly why it's a no. Put that book down and don't even question it. And I think it was like a secular book that's really sweet and pretty, but it's got nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And the Lord just didn't want me to even begin, you know, trying to make it work. And I just put it down and walked away. And I remember those moments. And then when I fail, I'm like, Lana, remember these failures so that next time you don't fail.
Amen. Amen. That's right. I like what Pat said. Y'all see what he said in the chat? He seemed to be more inclined to practice in the fire. That seems to be my way of doing things too, Pat. Boy, you nailed that one. Praise God. Not anymore, bless God. We're going to start listening. We're going to start listening. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're coming into a great time. We're fixing to see some stuff. I'm already seeing stuff. Boggles my mind. And God is cleaning folks up. Cleaning fellowships up too. I'm telling you. But God. Yeah, Pat.
Michael, I was lit, when we were talking, I think last week, or I don't know, maybe I was listening to a message talking about those guys in Indonesia that needed to get across the water, or, mm-hmm. you know, to the islands. And of course, the Lord said, well, there's an island, get to it, you know, walk to it. And, and I got to thinking, I was doing kind of a little study about this. I started listening when heard about David's dream or vision, or when the Lord took him to another place to preach a sermon or something and oversee.
That was a translation.
Translation. And I got to asking the Lord, and I think Philip, if I'm not mistaken, after speaking to the, was it Ethiopian eunuch in the back of the chariot there? And, yeah. And of course, the Lord swept him away. And I just got this thought, and I didn't really elaborate on it, but at that time I was studying, or the Lord was taking me through a process of awareness, being aware of the power of just being aware of something. And I realized that the Holy Spirit is aware of everything, everywhere. His awareness is everywhere and anywhere. And if you were able, if the Lord should, and of course, every one of us are aware of where we are at now. My awareness right now, I'm looking at a screen, I'm seeing, sitting in front of my laptop, and I'm aware of this room and everything. But it would be nothing, it would be no problem to God to remove, shall we say, dissolve my awareness of me being here and allow me to be aware of being right there with Michael or right there with Joe. If my awareness was there, what other part of me would be necessary? I'm, you know, are you catching what I'm kind of getting at? If my awareness was there, or your awareness was right here with me, and it was no longer there where you're at, it seemed to me like that was that movement, or that awareness raising or lowering in the Holy Spirit that could be controlled by God, and he could move you in his awareness to wherever he wanted to, simply by those two things happening, removing your awareness here and making you aware there. So it in my mind, it just become kind of clear as far as translation and how that can be. So anyway, and if you're filled with the Spirit, as Philip obviously was, he was swept away, and he was no longer there, found himself in the next town or something. So anyway, I just thought I would kick that out there for last minute thoughts or whatever.
Well, I remember that story that Lake told about preaching one day and up into pulpit, and they wanted him to pray for somebody. I think it's a woman's sister that was in mental institute in Scotland. And he knelt down on the floor and started praying. And he found himself going across South Africa, going across the ocean, going into Scotland. He saw the white, you know, the bluffs of Scotland, went on into a mental institute prison, or mental institute where they had him locked up. That's how bad she was. And he went to this place, went inside, got inside. Everything was open. He just walked in this lady's room, knew exactly where she was, and walked in there and put his hand on her. And I don't know if he said anything or not. I think he did. I think he said something. But anyway, put his hand on her. And then the next thing he knew, he was kneeling down at the pulpit. Again, he didn't see himself flying back, but he saw himself flying over there, but he didn't see himself flying back. He was instantly back in the pulpit, still praying. And 3 weeks later, they get a letter that this lady had been let out of that insane asylum where she was mentally, they had her locked down on the bed. That's how crazy she was. They had her chained to the bed because she was full of demons or something. And she was completely freed of that problem. Walked out of there talking about Jesus. Word of God. You're so right.
When he told about that, I'm assuming he told that in his congregation what happened. Did anyone did his body relocate, or was he
just, no, he went in the spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went in the spirit. His body stayed there. All they saw was Lake up there praying. They thought he was praying up there. He wasn't saying nothing. Of course, you know, his spirit had done left and he was over in Scotland. In the spirit realm, there's no time, right? There's no time. You can do that kind of stuff in that quick, and people won't miss it, and you'll be back in your body before anybody starts noticing something. You know? Gosh, that'd be awesome. I've heard of people going up to heaven and being there for months and months and months, and their body's still here, and their spirit's up there. And when they come back, they hadn't been gone but about 5 minutes. Just like I said, there's no such thing as time in the spirit realm. You can go up there and spend years up there and come back, and it won't be but just a day or two, if that's long. God can do anything. Good gracious. Oh, I wish I could tell you, but I can't. I'll tell you what, there's some stuff that is awesome going on. Stuff that's awesome going on. I'm not trying to dangle it in front of you. I want you to open up your mind to and your heart to believe that God can do anything. Anything. And he's showing us some stuff, and it's I'm sitting back and I say, but you'll know soon enough. Because I'm serious. When it would be days, it'll be in days you'll know everything that I know that's going on right now. And it's going to be good. Praise God. It's going to be real good. It's going to be mind boggling. How about that? If you don't have yourself encapsulated in this religious set mind that you have, and just throw it off, throw all that stuff off and say, okay, God, I'll just take whatever you got. Guess what? He'll try it on you. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody got any questions or any answers? Yeah, Pat.
I just got a quick question, maybe not related, but I sent you an email. Are you communicating through the email that I've been getting emails every once in a while, and
yeah.
I'm not sure if they're actually coming from UBM or you sometimes. And I responded back to you, I think, a couple times and asked you. And, you know, I didn't get any answer back. So I don't know if you just.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, but I do know this, that we have had people in the enemies of UBM have stolen emails, and they know how to do this kind of stuff and pretend to be somebody they're not and send other people emails from them trying to get information or trying to do this or trying to do that. And I don't know if that's what you're talking about.
Are they able to go through Proton Mail? Because Proton Mail is
I don't know if they can or not. I don't know. Why did you get something from me that I didn't respond?
Yes, I did. And but I've communicated back to you a couple times, and I've used the Proton account.
That's the one I want you to use. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't. So maybe I'll look through the stuff again and send you a screenshot of it.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, we're kind of in a time and age when even our email, you get some garbage coming through the mail and through over texts that you don't know, if you're talking to the right person, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's we're in a weird time.
That's been happening. That has been happening. But yeah, go ahead, get a screenshot of it, send it to me.
Yeah, will do.
That'd be great. Somebody else had their hand up. Joe did. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I'm gonna relate this quote. People can understand. a couple of weeks, a while back, Lord gave me five visions, and I interpreted what I think it meant, and it tells me something that I have to do. But that day and the next day, I'm doing what I think the Lord said to me, and I was struggling, seriously, I'm struggling with all this. And the next night, I asked Lord, I don't understand. You showed me this, and I did this, but it's not working. Why is it not working? And the Lord showed me a hand with a cell phone in it, a vision. And I immediately recognized, the Lord told me, why don't you ask me if it's from me or not from me? So I didn't want the enemy sent me to do and not what the Lord sent me. I didn't have a confirmation. Oh, I was just laughing at myself and confessed that to the Lord.
Amen. That's very good. We've gone through the same thing also. Joe, you're not by yourself. You feel kind of about like this tall when he tells you something like that.
Sure.
Well, I knew. Why did I think of that? Praise God. He is so loving with us.
Yeah, it's a learning process then.
Do what?
It's a learning process.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. In Arkansas, we say process. Over there, you say process. That threw me for a loop there for a minute, but I understood.
It's my Afrikaans accent, sorry.
Afrikaans, English, whatever. David calls it proper English. Proper English is what you understand, ain't it? Okay, anybody else? We're kind of drawing close here. Where's Vanita? Oh, they must have took off to the bed. They're getting up early in the morning, getting over here. I see Isaac and Mariana still up here. No, there they are. Vanita and Nick. They're eating pizza. They got pizza stains all over the front of them.
What about pizza? I'm listening now.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Y'all, do what?
I said, I'll take second and thirds. Fourth, if you let me.
All right. Well, you and Marianne ought to come down with them.
Well, we're actually doing Saturday, Israel's birthday party. No, that's Sunday, ain't it, honey? Oh, now I don't got an excuse. Let me think of one. No, I appreciate it. We do want to see y'all.
Yeah, we'd love to see y'all. See the boys, too. Okay. Anybody else got anything I'd like to share? Look, there's Marissa. Hey, Marissa. Oh, look out, Jesse. Come on with your bad self, boy. No, with your good self. Let me get him out there. There he is. Hey, buddy. Hey there. Hey, there you go. He waved. I saw you wave, Jesse. Hey, buddy. Won't be long.
Awesome testimony. He's really feels like it happened so quickly, but he's doing really great. They've weaned down a lot of his, respiratory support, and he hasn't been having like any vomiting, with his feeds, which yesterday one of the doctors kind of gave me a little bit of the bad report and was saying like, you know, he's doing really good. He was like, but you know, I have a feeling he's going to be having issues with his feedings and he's going to be here a long time. Basically kind of like wanted to prepare me that we were going to be in the hospital for a while, but I told him I was going to be praying about it. And I know that Jesus, has healed him. And so, he hasn't like had any vomiting issues today. And even one of the nurses told me today, she saw him last weekend. She was our night nurse and she was like, I just can't get over how good he looks today. Like he's breathing so much like easier and slower. And, he's really just doing amazing. So I just want to praise the Lord and thank you guys for all your prayers. And, you know, I mean, I guess also pray like, cause I want to be content with the Lord's like timeline and we're in this trial and I know he's bringing us a lot of, we're growing a lot of fruit from it, but also, I know what the word says. I know I can have faith for things and I don't have to accept the bad report and stuff. So, I just want to thank the Lord for that. And, just thank you guys for your prayers.
Amen. That boy's going to be full grown before you get him out of there. he is big, man.
Yes, he is getting some weight on him, getting some chunk, and that's what we want to see. Thank you, guys.
Glory to God. All right, Jesse, you get you some sleep, buddy. We bless him in the name of Jesus with divine health in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. That's a good baby, too. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got a prayer request? We got a couple of minutes left. Yeah, he is a beautiful baby boy. He's a beautiful boy. And he's going to stay a boy. Amen. That could be none of that hokey pokey stuff. Glory to God. All right. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to get around my brothers and sisters here. It's always a pleasure for me to get up here with them and to share with them and they sharing with us. And it's just an awesome time, Lord. There's love here that is just thick. The whole air is just thick with the love. And I praise you for that, Father. Glory to God. That's a testimony to your goodness and greatness on us, Lord, and your grace upon us. We praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, we just ask that you bless our pot blessing. Come Saturday, there won't be no stream tomorrow night. I think we were let out of jail, out of YouTube jail this week. So praise God, next week we'll have it streaming again. We just certain things you can't say, you know. No, you can't say that. Nope, can't say it. That's God. He's got to go. All right, but you can say, I love God. God loves me. Jesus loves me. Just I know, cause Bible tells me so. Everybody that's anybody at all knows that song. If you don't know it, you need to get saved. Glory to God. I learned that when I was a little bitty toddler by Miss Janie White, little old white haired lady. She was a good lady too. She taught us all those kids that song. Lord bless everybody tonight with good sleep. Not only that, bless them with good dreams. Not only that, Lord bless them with divine health. And not only that, Lord, bless them to come on into this tribulation with us as a bride. We praise you for that, Father, that everybody here is going to be in the boat. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. All right, y'all be blessed, you hear? Let me see if I can do this first.